88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Nelson Mandela's grandson has called for the Dunn store strikers to be given the freedom of Dublin City. And the South African MP, Mandela Mandela, said that their work in the anti-apartheid strikes during the 80s should be honoured. One of those Dunn store strikers, Mary Manning, is with us here on Lunchtime Live today. Mary, what was your reaction when you heard the call from Mandela Mandela?
I suppose, I mean, we were all very humbled by his call. It was unexpected, and it was an honour to hear him asking for it. I think he said he was also going to try and get us the freedom of Johannesburg, but it's at the time the strike, when we were on strike, it wasn't considered a positive thing. We were like unemployable for a long time after the strike, and Karen was sacked, and myself and Vonnie actually ended up going to Australia to get jobs because we just couldn't get a job here. So something like this would be a validation of what we had done. I mean, that's not the reason why we did it, but it would be nice to receive something like that.
When did you find out about this?
That night, I was actually at that it was a Palestinian support meeting, and he was on Zoom. He was initially supposed to come over to Ireland, but he was doing a tour in the UK as well, and the UK actually refused to give him his visa. So he ended up doing the meeting on Zoom. So that was the first I'd heard of it.
Yeah, it was just yesterday, wasn't it? He was speaking at the virtually. Or
Wednesday.
Sorry, apologies. Two days ago, yeah. So the call was made, and I understand now that the People Before Profit councillor, Conor Reedy, he's now contacted the Lord Mayor's office and the City Council in Dublin, their protocols committee, to support this call.
Yeah, and it just seems to kind of have been like, I suppose when someone like Nelson Mandela's grandson calls or something like that, people listen. But it just seems to be getting more kind of, I suppose, highlighting it more maybe. And the fact that someone has actually written to the Lord Mayor now makes it even more valid, I think.
What would it mean to you and the other strikers, Mary?
As I said, like we were on strike for 2 years and 9 months for something that we weren't going to gain anything from. And the reason we went on strike was because of the apartheid regime in South Africa. So to have something like this as I said, a validation, because at the time we were looked down on, we were it wasn't a good thing to be involved in. We were as workers, we were, because we were, even just being part of a trade union wasn't a good thing. And it was only because of our trade union that we ended up being on strike. The law has since changed in 1990 now that it's actually a sackable offence to go on strike for refusing to handle goods. So I think that needs to be changed in law as well. I mean, it means that people who want to protest against something in the likes of Palestine, I mean, there are plenty of workers, I'm sure, who would like the right not to be handled South African or Israeli goods. But if they do that, then they're sacked. Yeah. So
that's one, I suppose, point to this, the validation for you and the others that took part in the strike back in the 80s. But the idea of actually receiving the freedom of Dublin City, that is an accolade in itself. Does that mean anything to you?
Of course it does. I mean, we're all the strikers were originally from Dublin. Some of us don't. I live in Wexford now, and Karen lives in Kerry. But we're all Dubs at heart, and to have something like that from your own hometown, like, would be just a huge honour, I think. Anyway,
yeah. Are you surprised, maybe over the years, that it's never been mentioned before, or something similar?
No, not really. I mean, I think it's only like the Bono and they get those kind of honours. So it would be nice for like ordinary workers to get it. There's plenty of people who now are doing like really solid work on the ground, but they don't get any recognition for it. I know that's not the reason why they're doing it, but at the same time, it would be nice to have some sort of a recognition for people who do kind of on the streets day in, day out, helping the homeless and the Muslim sisters of the area. You know, it's just that kind of thing, that like just normal people doing normal things.
Mm. Okay. Mary, listen, thank you very much for your time here today. Lovely to chat to you on Lunchtime Live. That's Mary Manning there, as I said, one of the Dunn Stores strikers during the anti-apartheid strikes back in the 1980s. Alison Gilliland is the former Lord Mayor of Dublin. Alison, what does the actual Freedom of Dublin accolade, what does that really mean?
It means a huge amount to the people that do receive it. And I suppose the first thing is that it's the absolute prerogative of the Lord Mayor of the day to decide to award it or not award it. Our Lord Mayor last year didn't award a freedom. I'm not sure what our current Lord Mayor will do this year, but it has to also have the support of the council. And it's quite an old tradition. It was introduced in Dublin about 150 years ago in 1876. But before that, it was taken from the sort of medieval practice of granting freedom from serfdom in ancient times. And I suppose would have been the tradition of the English and then filtered into the Dublin tradition. And I know very many other cities and towns would have their own type of award to it. So for me, it was very much about recognising those who had contributed to our city and our country by default, but also in those olden times, there was a duty on whoever was awarded it to defend the city. And I very much viewed that as part of my rationale. I awarded to Alva Smith for her human rights and someone who's inclusive and tolerant and would defend that in our city. Professor Mary Aiken, cyber psychologist, and we all talk about cyber safety, cyber protection and the mental health impacts that goes with that. And then Kelly Harrington, who for me is the heart and soul of Dublin community and is somebody who's really grounded and keeps us grounded. So I suppose my rationale was around that duty to defend the city and I suppose be role models for the city.
It's up to the Lord Mayor of the day to decide effectively who gets it, but the council members have to support the name or the proposal. Yes. So is it just one person per year, Alison?
It can depend. I did propose three, and for me there was a massive gender gap. Like there's 82 awardees and only 7 of them, I think 9 now, have been women. And it was lovely to hear Mary talk there because I think a lot of the time we do, men are more, I suppose, in the news, they're more visible. But if you go back behind the scenes, a lot of the time it's the women that are really on the ground promoting good community work, supporting those in need. And oftentimes they don't get those higher awards, but there are other awards. Like the Lord Mayor does have also awards, it's just called the Lord Mayor's Awards, and that's about 7 or 8 either groups or individuals that are recognised, and that's more for local work.
Yeah, that they can be recognised in that way. Just a couple of people making the point, Alison, that like, while they think it's a good idea, why not go a step further and why not have something similar to the honours system that they have in the UK? Like, if we're going to have awards, why not have something that really carries, you know, a little bit more than just sort of a ceremonial function.
Yeah, and I don't think it should be a case of either or, because it's great to be able to recognise the people within your own community, your own city. And I suppose if you look at the work of the president, a lot of the time the president recognises individual and groups by having them out at his residence, you know, meeting them, whether it be sort of advocates or people who have contributed to the country or to other countries.
That they can be awarded there.
And
okay.
I suppose, but I think you'd have to be very precise on your criteria.
As to who qualifies. Okay, Enda Brady is with us. Enda's TV presenter for TRT World News. Enda, how does the honour system work in the UK? Just remind us.
So there's a committee, ultimately, and while it's awarded by the British government in conjunction with the royal family, there is an honours committee, and they screen or vet, if you like, all the names that are coming in. So it could be anyone from the local lollipop lady to the local school head teacher, someone who's raised a huge amount of money for charities or charitable work over the decades, all the way up to pop stars and international sports people.
Is it not mainly celebrities, though?
Celebrities get the headlines. Actually, the majority of people who get awards under the system here, and I'm not saying I'm in favour with the British award system, but the people who get them, the majority are ordinary citizens doing what most people would think are extraordinary things. But the headlines, you're right, are dominated by the great and the good and the big names.
So the majority of the knights and the dames are your community workers and your primary school teacher?
No. The majority of the awards would be the smaller ones, so your OBEs, Order of the British Empire. And remember, it is very much an empire thing. So that's the major criticism a lot of people would have of it. It's, you know, member of the British Empire. Mm. So your rank and file citizens, if you like, so they people who have done extraordinary work for 30, 40 years, they would be made an OBE or an MBE. But normally the knighthoods and the damehoods will go to your Elton Johns and your Mick Jaggers and Maggie Smiths of the acting world.
Yeah, your sir and the lady. Do you think something like that, a system like the honours system, would work in Ireland, Enda?
It's entirely possible to make it work. The French have their own system, Légion d'honneur. France is a proud republic, as we are, and the French make it work. I don't think we need one. I think people who do good in Irish society, we know who they are. And I think that's a great thing about the Irish psyche and how our community works in every town and village up and down the country. We know who the local heroes are. We know who the real heroes, and we know who the good people are. I don't think Irish people need letters after their name or in front of their name for anyone to tip their hat to them, because we know inherently good people.
Yeah, usually people who have all the letters after their name will tell you about it as well. They'll usually inform you.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, Andrea, there was a story here last week, which obviously people wouldn't have read in the papers, but there was this guy, he's going through a very acrimonious divorce, and he was falsely using the title Sir. He had not been made a knight, and this guy was challenged in court on it, and he said that he never had he falsely used the title Sir, and he didn't know where that come from.
Yeah.
And the judge produced documentation. He had at the foot of all his letterheads and his emails Sir in front of his name. So there is, the British do love their titles and the deference, and they bow down to it all. I've covered hundreds of investiture ceremonies over the years. You go into Buckingham Palace, you're put in a little corner of the quadrangle, which is the courtyard behind the front, and you wait for the celebs to come out. And the funniest one, just a little anecdote for you, good old Bruce Forsyth, the day he got his knighthood, he came out and we did the interview live on TV, and the interview went on, and because it was going on so long, he wanted to go for lunch, and he said to me, right, we're going to finish with a song and a dance, and he started singing, and then he grabbed me by the shoulder, spun me around and waltzed me round the quadrangle. It was amazing, and I see it now on YouTube. It does make me laugh, but he just wanted to wrap up the interview and go have a few drinks.
Yeah, finish off the whole ceremony. Journalist and author Suzanne Harrington is with us on the line as well. Suzanne, do they carry much weight in the UK?
Oh my God, they are obsessed with it. it so plays into the British psyche of the in-group and the out-group, of the class system, of deference and forelock tugging, of looking up and looking down. And as the previous speaker just said, it really, really, really fits with the British mentality. Whereas if you're part of a republic, as Ireland is, you know, as Ireland is a republic and France, we don't need that in-group, out-group thing because, well, Ireland is a really small country anyway. So, that, you know, there's not millions and millions and millions of people, so to speak. But
yeah,
the idea of creating layers of hierarchy is just, I'm a huge fan of the Dunstore strikers, of Mary and her colleagues. And what her point, which I thought was really strong, was, why honour people whilst outlawing
the actions that they took. You know, you can now get sacked for handling stolen goods, and yet here's freedom of the whatever. It's a contradiction. It's whitewashing. It's a distraction from the actual point.
Do you see similarities between the likes of the freedom of Dublin City and, well, I suppose the honour system in the UK to a certain extent? Maybe not at night and dame level, but...
No, not really, because it's kind of, I suppose, the people who bestow those honours in Ireland, it's civic. They're elected. They can be unelected just as quickly. It isn't that thing for life. There's not a whiff of empire about it. It's civic recognition of civic duty done well, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But the whole pomp and ceremony and OBEs and MBEs and sirs and lords and ladies, it's just nonsense. It's outdated. It might have worked in the 1500s.
Yeah,
but,
maybe
you know,
don't need
not
it.
Now.
Yeah. Pat has got in touch. He says, absolutely honour the Dun Stores workers. Mary and her colleagues were very brave to do what they did. They highlighted the injustices in South Africa at the time when apartheid was barbaric. They sacrificed their careers for justice and they should be honoured. Another listener says, as far as I know, John Count McCourt was one of the first world famous people to receive the Freedom of Dublin about 100 years ago. As a singer, he had his first chances in Dublin back in 1902. 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. That is Suzanne Harrington, Enda Brady, Alison Gilliland, and also Mary Manning.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.